Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, guys, now come on. This is not what you're supposed to do. This is not how you're supposed to handle this sort of thing. I saw a headline yesterday. I think it was. I saw this headline. There was a fire that started in western Montana that was quickly put out. So a fire breaks out and fire crews quickly extinguish the flames. Guys, this is not how you're supposed to do this. Yeah, let me help you out here. What you're supposed to do, you hear that a fire breaks out, you're supposed to just kick your feet up, don't do anything, sit back. If anything, you're supposed to fan the flames, let the fire burn out of control, and then you can blame climate change. But see, if a fire breaks out and you just put the fire out, how are they going to push their climate alarmist agenda? You are not helping, guys. Guys, you gotta fan the flames, blame climate change. Make the problem worse so that you can manufacture, you know, the cure for the disease that you spread. Obviously, you can sense my sarcasm here on this Wednesday morning. But no, this hats off to these incredible fire crews here in Montana. Hats off to Governor Gianforte's administration, DNRC fire crews, you know, volunteer firefighters, all of them out there. But yeah, no, this has been a shift. This has been a pivot, if that's what you want to call it, where they're more aggressively tackling these fires when they break out. And that's been the governor's directive here is, hey, if a fire breaks out, put it out before it gets out of control. You guys remember back in 2020 when all the stupidity was going on in 2020? And remember somebody in the federal government, I think one of the health officials, one of these health officials was encouraging firefighters to fight these fires earlier when they were smaller instead of allowing them to get out of control. And why were they encouraging that? Not because they didn't want the fires to burn out of control and spew more emissions into the air. No, it was because, remember, it was 2020, and they didn't want to have these gigantic fire camps that are very expensive. They didn't want, you know, because the fire burns out of control, then you have these massive man camp, fire camps going on. Costs a lot of money. They didn't want people living in these man camps because of, COVID-19 concerns. It's like, why don't we just fight the fires earlier, more aggressively in the first place? And if you want to use fire as a tool for managing the land, well, yeah, why don't you do prescribed burns? Why don't you plan for it a little bit more? Why don't we, you know, access more of our timber that these liberal federal judges don't allow us? But anyway, yeah, I just had to make that point, especially because of what is in the news this morning. Coming up in about 20 minutes at the Montana Supreme Court, they will begin the oral arguments in the Climate Kids lawsuit. So maybe we'll talk about that. Better yet, why don't you call in and tell us what you want to talk about? Phone lines are open.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I should have started by saying this, but that's all right. We got the full hour for you here. Yesterday, we got the update from Jennifer Patrick talking about the Milk River Irrigation Project. Big town hall meeting yesterday afternoon in Malta. And so I'll get to some of that news maybe later on in the second half of this show. I did reach out to the Bureau of Reclamation to see if they'd want to have somebody join us today. Might be able to get them on later in the week. But here's what I'm thinking. I would love to hear from you, farmers, ranchers, local small business owners. If you attended that town hall meeting in Malta yesterday afternoon, let us know what you thought about it. What are the you know, thoughts you had? Maybe follow-up questions. Are you happy with what you heard? Understanding the situation that we're all in right now, or do you wish you heard something different? You can send us a message on the Montana Talks app, or heck, give us a call later on in the hour as these phone lines free up. And I'd love to hear your takeaways from that town hall meeting yesterday. And I'll get to the some of the big news that's come out. Governor Greg Gianforte made a big announcement on that front yesterday that I can share with you. But yeah, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Let's go first to Perry in Columbus. Perry, thanks for the phone call. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Aaron. You know, I thank you for taking to the microphone 5 days a week to help enlighten Montanans that just don't yet understand what the tyrannical new American left Democrats have planned for us in the future of Barack Hussein Obama's fundamentally transformed America. There won't be any middle class, no upward financial mobility or security, no matter how hard you work towards it. Everything you're allowed to do or have will be in service of their needs and desires. You can forget about having any kind of weapon to protect your families from mostly peaceful protesters invading your neighborhood. The feds have already taken absolute control over every meaningful aspect of your lives. Look around you. Your health care, your employability, food and energy supplies, lawfare, draconian tax rates, and digitally controlled money coming soon. This fall's election is make or break for our constitutional republic. These radical leftists will impose a system where they live like kings and you'll eat bugs and whatever crumbs are tossed your way. Let's do our part, Montana. Two-faced tester must be defeated this fall.
Well, that's really what this climate kids lawsuit is all about, right? They want to force their climate alarmist agenda into every single state agency action and decision in Helena. And that is the case. That is the appeal that is being heard at the Montana Supreme Court here in now 14 minutes. Literally, it's what they will allow you to have. It's what they will allow you to own. It's what they will allow you to drive. It's whether they will allow you to have the adequate electricity you need when you need it. AC over the next week and then heat in about 6 months from now, right?
It's called power and control, and they will never surrender. They will never compromise. Either we let them have it or we don't.
And it's about hypocrisy. I don't know if you saw this story. This is a story that could have been a throwback Thursday story for you that we could have saved for tomorrow. But it's not a throwback story. They're doing it again. Perry, do you remember hearing about the spotted owl and these radical liberal judges, the radical left, they blamed the timber industry for threatening the spotted owl. And then what did they figure out? It's not the timber industry. It's actually the barred owl is mating with the spotted owl. So the reason we're losing spotted owls is because the barred owls are having sex with the spotted owls. And so that's what really is doing away with the spotted owls. So then the government started killing barbed owls. They're doing it again. And yet, look at the way they've destroyed our timber industry with their false, baseless claims over the past three decades plus.
And never do you ever get an apology for it. It's just, oops, oh, well, we made an honest mistake, and we'll try and do better next time. That's their story.
Yeah, just like Joe Biden's disastrous debate performance. They knew all along the guy was completely out of it, but they just act like they just spotted it 2 weeks ago. Perry, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Tim in Billings next up. Tim, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. First off, I'd like to wish a speedy recovery to Chief St. John, the Billings police chief.
Yeah.
Saw that he had suffered a medical issue and is in the hospital and having surgery. So hopefully he comes out of it well and has a speedy recovery. The other thing I wanted to talk about was, we've talked about the media saying now how shocked they are at the condition of Joe Biden. And whether they believe that or not, whether they're being truthful or not, I think they should be held to the same scrutiny that Alex Jones was. He reported something that people had issue with, wanted, you know, said was false, whether he believed it or not. He was fined $1 billion.
Bankrupt.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Joe Scarborough, $1 billion for you. Mika Brzezinski, $1 million for you. George Snuffleupagus, $1 million for you. Every one of these people who's been carrying Joe Biden's water for the last 3 years, let's have them find $1 billion as well, and along with the media companies, these networks that provide cover for this guy that has, you know, he's been unable to function like a human being for the last who knows how long.
Yeah, great point. Yeah, billion for you. You get fined $1 billion. You get fined $1 billion. Hey, Tim, stand by. I got one more thing to throw at you after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I had to check in with Tim in Billings to see if he was still with us on the phone lines, and he was, and I said, Tim, I got to throw something random at you here. I got to throw something random right back at you. So I'm going to go throw something random at Tim in Billings, and then we'll get to Anna in Bozeman on the phone lines as well. Tim, did you ever watch Beverly Hills Cop back in the day with Eddie Murphy? Remember the Beverly Hills Cop movies?
Yeah, I remember the one and two. I haven't seen the latest one. I've heard it pretty funny, though.
Yeah, it was good. It was just like the old school. It was just like being back in the 80s again. In fact, the Daily Wire has a piece on their website. Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., Maverick, and the return of the Reagan 80s. Boy, wouldn't that be nice. But anyway, so I actually watched it. Watch the new movie, and I got to say, my only disappointment is not once in the entire movie does Eddie Murphy do his signature laugh. You know, the her said it's a bad impersonation. But, you know, his he didn't do it once. And I'm like, come on. Where are you at, Eddie Murphy? So that was the only disappointment. I about threw my beverage at the TV. I was like, he didn't even do his laugh once. I wonder if it was deliberate.
I wonder if somebody trademarked it and he would have had to pay to use his own laugh. You know, and if somebody could trademark something that you made and then you'd have to pay to use it.
Somebody, I'll bet you there's some dumb story about that. Somebody got offended by his laugh and now it's not woke to laugh like that. Who knows, right? But
right.
But the reason I bring up Axel Foley is you mentioned Billings Police Chief Rich St. John, and what a great guy he is. So I saw the same news you did, that he had a heart attack. A full recovery is expected, but he is going to have to get surgery. So I thought, you know, I'm going to send him a quick email. I don't expect him to respond. I just want him to see it whenever he sees it. What time did I send him an email? It was at like 5 in the morning. I say, hey, Chief, just a note to let you know we are all thinking about you and praying for the full expected recovery. 6:30 in the morning, I get an email back from him already thanking me for the note. Now, this guy's like Axel Foley. It's like, Chief, aren't you supposed to be in your hospital bed? Like, he's probably out doing football drills outside in the parking lot right now. And they're like, Chief, we need you back in your hospital bed. Come on, you know.
Right. Well, you know, anybody that's spent any time in the hospital, they probably want to do anything they can to feel like they're back to normal, regardless of how mundane it may seem to the rest of us. So he probably really appreciated that email and was glad to respond to you. And we just hope that he has a full and speedy recovery.
That's right. Anyway, I couldn't resist. Had to bring that one up. Tim, thanks for the call. Thanks for staying on the phone lines. Appreciate it. Next up, let me see. I know we've got Anna in Bozeman. She sent me a nice message on our Montana Talks app. Talking about the Montana judiciary. And this was the key thing that stood out in this message from Anna in Bozeman. She says, it's time for Montanans to address the problem of corruption in the Montana judiciary and start holding activist judges accountable for damages they caused by their decisions Anna, I wholeheartedly agree. Let's see, line two. There we go. Anna, yeah, what more did you want to share? That was a great point you made.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Can you hear me?
Judiciary is what basically makes Montana a laughing stock of the entire country. The same judges who rejected parents trying to sue school boards for forcing masks on kids, now hearing this limousine liberals moms saying that Montana blue walkers cause some discomfort for their kids. And all these sue cases, they cost enormous amount of money for Montana taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think should be done is for a Montana Republican just start publishing numbers in dollars. How much money for taxpayers just these cases cost? These cases that judges should just dismiss because they're ridiculous. Starting from they literally defined biology as unconstitutional in Montana.
So go after them for the damages they are causing. I mean, no, and great to hear from you, Anna. With regard to your point about the Montana judiciary, particularly the Supreme Court right now being the laughing stock. I mean, I'm watching right now the live stream from the Montana Supreme Court. They're just about to get underway in this climate kids lawsuit, which is a Soviet style show trial that took place in Helena. It's a joke. And oh, by the way, Anna, are you still there?
Yeah.
You know a thing or two about these Soviet style show trials. That's why you escaped communism, right? And we've seen Soviet-style show trials against Trump. This climate kids lawsuit held v. Montana is a Soviet-style show trial to push Marxist policies that would go against agriculture, oil, gas, coal, everything, right?
Exactly. These cases against SB 99, which may basically allow Mengele's doctor to perform the medical experiments on kids and do not be held liable for damages for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And this ridiculous case of defining sex, biological sex, which will allow men entering every woman's space they want. All these cases, it is so. I would say it's more Mao Zedong.
More Mao Zedong, yeah. It's quite the competition they are in, right? Because that's what this radical transgender agenda is all about, chopping body parts off of kids, you name it. But yeah, I'm watching. I'll see if it's worth popping into this live stream to see what's being talked about as it's now underway. Climate change lawsuit slated for oral arguments before the Montana Supreme Court. That's the headline from the Flathead Beacon. But yeah, Montana Republicans and several business groups, energy organizations, and others have filed this appeal to overturn this just laughing stock ruling in the Held v. Montana case. But I can tell they're about to get underway because I can see Bowen Greenwood. I see his Bruce Willis head there. Shining, the justices haven't arrived yet, but and then I see I saw some of the climate kids were there just laughing it up. They love all the attention they're getting out of this, but this is no laughing matter. I mean, the devastation this would cause for a whole host of Montana industries is a very clear threat. Anna, thanks for the call. Who do we got next up on the phone lines here? Let me see. Chuck in Lambert. Chuck, what's going on?
My mother-in-law passed away 2 years ago.
Sorry to hear.
She was over 100 years old, and she ended up on Medicaid. They did not want to give her Medicaid. She had a life estate in North Dakota at her farm. Now Medicaid, through the Attorney General's office, is suing us to get all the money back. And I want everybody in Montana to know what they're doing. They are breaking irrevocable trusts to get money back.
So this is the federal Attorney General's office?
No, Montana State.
Oh, okay.
And they are suing us to get the money back. Now, I can tell you this whole story because I have not agreed to the terms yet. Because once I agree to the terms, I can no longer talk about it. So here's what I'm going to tell you. She was over 100 years old. They said that she still had 12.5% of her life estate left, according to Medicaid. Now, I don't know how long, if you figure that out, she put it in a life estate for her children after her husband died, my wife being one of them.
So it should have been protected then.
That's even what we thought.
Interesting.
She put it in a life estate 38 years before she died. They then claimed that she still had owned 12.5% of that life estate.
So Chuck, just so our listeners are tracking, so I'm tracking here. So as I understand it, if you have assets, you basically have to deplete those assets, or they'll tell you, well, you have other ways to pay for some of this long-term care. So until you deplete those assets, you don't get Medicaid. So they're claiming that because she had this in a long-term trust, that she should have used that to pay for some of this long-term care. But you were of the impression that that would be protected from that type of requirement. I wonder if one of our listeners could weigh in, like as an accountant or some sort of an expert on that.
That's what it was for. A life estate at that time was for this. She did no longer own the property. She dispersed the property to her children. And what they're doing now is going back against life estates and trusts. They're breaking irrevocable trust to get the money.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, Chuck, if you can, send us a message on the Montana Talks app or send me an email with more information if you want. Like I said, maybe one of our listeners is an expert in this area and we can kind of link you guys up. Yeah, that's just tough stuff. Boy, I tell you what, long-term care and, I just can't imagine the frustrations that everybody has to deal with, especially the way, all of that has just been broken. And of course, Obamacare made everything even more challenging just in healthcare all around. So thanks for the call. We got to hit another quick break here. We got more callers on the phone lines. Plus, if you're one of those folks who attended that town hall meeting in Malta yesterday, talking about the St. Mary siphon failure and the Milk River irrigation project, I'd love to get your take on the town hall meeting. We've got phone lines open for you right now, 294-0970. Back right after this break, and I'm going to listen in on this Supreme Court deal as it gets underway.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The findings of a 5-year independent economic analysis of the National Beef Checkoff Program from 2019 to 2023 was announced yesterday. The findings show that each dollar invested in the beef checkoff generated a $13.41 benefit for producers, boosting domestic beef demand and U.S. beef exports. The return on investment analysis revealed a return of $13.41. The ROI analysis revealed a return of $13.41 and also simulated what market conditions would look like without a national beef checkoff investment over those 5 years. Those findings included that domestic beef demand would have been 2.4 billion pounds or 8.5% lower annually. Also, it showed without a beef checkoff, steer prices would have been 7.8% lower annually, and U.S. export beef demand would have been 372 million pounds or 11.5% lower in 7 major importing countries if there was no beef checkoff. Again, that ROI over the past 5 years on every dollar invested into the beef checkoff generated $13.41. In other news, we're a tad bit away from wheat harvest, but the winter wheat condition ratings remain at 68% good to excellent, 29% fair, and just 3% poor for the winter wheat in Montana. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Yeah, if you were at that town hall meeting in Malta, would love to hear from you, you know, what your takeaways were, what you thought of the information that was presented. By the way, another town hall meeting taking place in Malta today, thanks to Frank at KMMR for sharing this information. Governor Greg Gianforte is going to be in Malta this afternoon at the Great Northern Hotel, great place, by the way, for a town hall meeting. He'll be discussing several topics, including the Milk River Project as well. In fact, let me see, where did I put it? I had a press release here from Governor Greg Gianforte talking about not just the federal funds that are being pledged towards repairing the St. Mary siphon, but also the state funds that have been added into the bucket as well. So I'll try to track that one down for you here. I'm watching this live stream from the Montana Supreme Court, but it looks like the audio is very low on it here. I've got it cranked up on both ends on their page and on my computer, but I was just listening to it in queue here, so maybe it sounds better actually if I actually pot up the computer feed here. Let me try it out. Bear with me for a second here.
Example of that. What I think makes the difference.
Yeah, so you can barely hear that. So the audio feed is just too low on that. But nonetheless, a packed house. Apparently, not only are the chambers filled up with people, but Jonathan Amberian with the Montana Television Network is reporting that they had to open up an extra room for people to sit in. But yeah, there's a host of organizations that are there. Probably every major industry group you can think of in Montana is there to challenge this nonsensical Held v. Montana ruling, where they would enact this climate alarmist agenda into every single decision. Now, I'm not sure who it is that's speaking first up, but he made the point in talking with the Supreme Court justices that they're asking the state to make decisions about, you know, carbon dioxide emissions in the state of Montana, but that they're asking them to try to control the emissions that the state of Montana doesn't have control over. I thought that was a very point. That was one thing I just very quickly heard there, even though the audio was very low. I think he was saying something to the effect of like 80 to 90% of the emissions in Montana, the state doesn't even control and can't even control those. It's a federal issue. But yet here's this nonsensical ruling where they want the state to make that a part of every single decision that they make. It is just so absurd. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let me see. Who do we got here? We've got, Tom in Billings. Tom, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate the fact the gal you had on yesterday, for the women in combat, I think that's the most amazing thing. You know, as a Gulf War veteran, quiet waters, I wish I would have had that.
Yeah. Never too late,
but,
right?
Yeah, too late. But we need to promote that. We need, because I did 18 combat missions in Iraq, and women were treated very poorly.
That's sad to hear. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, some of our listeners may not know which event you're referring to, but that's all right. I'm glad you brought it up. So you guys might remember this. Back in November, we had a guest here on our statewide show for Veterans Day, a special guest for Veterans Day. Her name is Dallas Knight, female combat veteran. She actually wrote a book. Actually, she didn't really write a book. What she did in this book is she published her memoirs. She published her transcripts from when she was in combat in Iraq back in the early 2000s. And she wrote this book called Shattered Reflections. Well, it's been really cool. In fact, she was telling me, gosh, since she joined us on the radio last November, it's been crazy. all the things that are now transpiring and developing. One of the people that I linked her up with after she joined us on the radio last November is a gentleman by the name of Brian Gilman. Brian Gilman is the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters, and I have the great honor of serving on their national advisory board. They're based out of the Bozeman area and do just incredible things. You guys have heard a lot about them. Brian is a Butte, Montana native who then served a full career, 20-plus years, in the United States Marine Corps. He eventually was a Fulbright colonel. He was the chief of staff at MARSOC, which is the Marine Special Operations Command. So anyway, long story short, what Dallas Knight is doing with her Not-So-Average Jane podcast and her NotSoAverageJane.com website, she's putting together the first-ever female combat veteran retreat here in Montana, or at least first one that we know of. First ever female combat veteran retreat. Now Warriors in Quiet Waters also does, you know, female only fishing experiences and things like that too. But this is a female combat veterans retreat, and I think it's just so incredible what she's doing, because look, whether people want to admit it or not, there are differences between men and women. Whether you're playing sports, whether you're serving to the left and right of each other in a combat zone, there are still basic differences between men and women. And female veterans want to have camaraderie with their fellow female combat veterans. And it's such an incredible healing experience and opportunity. And so that's why she's putting this whole thing together. But in order to do this, they've got to raise some money to pull the whole thing off. And it's so any Montana female combat veteran is eligible for this. In fact, she's opening it up to the entire country. 2025 is when they're going to do this retreat at the Quiet Waters Ranch outside of Bozeman. But they've got an event coming up Saturday, July 27th, later this month in Billings. It's her Red, White, and Boots ball. So, hey, if folks want to make the trip from across Montana to show up and support that, I think she may still have a table available and likely has some individual tickets available as well. But, yeah, Tom, thanks for plugging that, and thanks for giving that shout-out. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines here, 406-294-0970, we've got Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's going on?
And talk about climate change in Montana. It usually occurs every 5 minutes, but next winter we're going to have a change in the current of the oceans, where it's going to start circulating. Right now it's winter time in Australia, but we're going to have cold water forcing the warm water kind of cycle clockwise this year. So it's going to go up around the Pacific Rim. And, of course, we're going to get garbage from China and Korea, and it's all going to drift onto our Pacific shores. But it's a never-ending problem when it comes to pollution from that side of the planet, you know. But trivia question. If you're standing in Australia and looking up at the moon, and you're looking at the face of the man on the moon, you know, is it upside down? Most people can't answer that correctly.
Oh, interesting. How do you know that's a man on the moon? That could be a black woman on the moon, according to Joe Biden.
well, what the answer is, it's the same distance to the moon on both hemispheres, but when you're standing on that side of the, when you're standing up on this side of the globe, you're upside down on that side of the globe. So when you're looking up, it's upside down.
Ah, interesting. All right. Well, Frank, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Phone lines are open for you as well, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about as well. In fact, if you're somebody who's like, man, usually the phone lines are full like they were earlier, now might be a good time for you to call in, 406-294-0970, as we've got some phone lines that have now freed up since we went through, got through a few callers there. Yeah, this whole climate alarmist agenda, you know, I want to point out again, the same Climate Kids that are behind the Climate Kids lawsuit that's under appeal right now and being heard in oral arguments at the Montana Supreme Court. Those same Climate Kids that are being used as human shields in the war against Montana energy by their wealthy white liberal parents that want to take your electricity away, take your jobs away, your union jobs, by the way, away. They're also the same ones that are right now trying to shut down the natural gas power plant that's recently been built in Laurel, Montana. And there they are, spotted them earlier on the live stream, just laughing it up at the Montana Supreme Court. Like this is just some game, just some academic exercise.
Goes.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's not just me. It's not just my computer. I was trying to monitor the Climate Kids lawsuit appeal at the Montana Supreme Court. The audio is just very, very low. I put that question out via Twitter. Lars Phillips responded, yep, yeah, audio's low, so it's hitting everybody. But all right, that's all right. Let's see, what else do we got here? Dennis in Bozeman asks a good question. Who is paying for the Climate Kids lawsuit? A very good question. Now, this is just speculation on my part because you should know when I'm speculating or hypothesizing versus sharing, you know, actually. My speculation is what happened, or at least what happens with a lot of these radical environmentalist lawsuits is they get these environmental wacko lawyers that represent them free of charge, and then they go to a liberal judge. The liberal judge rules on their behalf, and then we the people have to pick up the cost. That's what they do, you know, when judges like Don Malloy and these other guys would shut down, you know, timber jobs and more, they would not only shut down your timber project, and harm, you know, forest health projects in the process, but then they'd make you and I pay for it. And shove a bunch of cash into the pockets of these radical environmental groups and their lawyers. So, but sometimes they do it without even a ruling from a judge. They'll just find some willing accomplice inside the Forest Service or some federal government agency. Oh, you twisted my arm. Oh, okay, I guess we'll settle. And then they'll do sue and settle, which is another scam. And then they'll give them your money that way and shut down your forest health project. That's why this whole thing has been such a scam. But again, we have to ask ourselves, who put these judges on the bench in the first place? Who put these judges on the bench in the first place? All right, let's get back into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. Mitch in Kalispell, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Absolutely. Kind of going along with what you were just talking about with the judges, a lot of people are asking about the other side of lawfare, as we've been seeing nationally. And I just wanted to call in to let y'all know there's an event for the Glacier Country Pachyderms, which is the Kalispell Pachyderms. It's also in conjunction with the state of Montana's and the national ones, the last weekend of July, so Saturday the 27th. And we'll actually have former acting U.S. Attorney General Matt Whitaker here, as well as Tim Sheehy will be speaking that night at the Diamonds and Denim Cowboy Ball.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that'll be a great event. Well, I mean, I know our listeners probably are already answering my question for me. And, you know, it's like you hate to make everything political, but, like, it is. Especially when it comes to stuff like this, right? Why did Judge Malloy get put, or who put Judge Malloy on the bench in Missoula that has single-handedly done more to kill our timber industry than in Montana than anybody else? He was put on the bench by Bill Clinton and former Democrat Senator Max Baucus. And so, you know, like, I'm glad that the state of Montana is doing everything they can to take care of these timber workers that lost their jobs here of late. This has been happening for decades here. But But we got to ask ourselves, why did their jobs get shut down in the first place? It's because of these radical liberal judges. Who puts these radical liberal judges on the bench? Max Baucus, John Tester. These guys have been destroying union jobs in particular now for decades.
Well, and then we also have those judges that are on the bench, especially at the state level. They're over the actual bar association, so the chance of getting the attorneys to actually speak out against it, it's just pumping more through there and making sure that it's a continuous factory belt, basically, of continuing on the same bad policy.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We're running short on time. Let's sneak on Ken in Great Falls. Ken, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in the heat looking at the smoke in the air, and we just had the largest Category 5 hurricane developed in the Caribbean we've ever seen. We're breaking records all over the country for heat. It's climate change. These kids are doing what's good for their future. They're going to live in the most miserable future if we don't stop burning fossil fuels.
But even if people agree with you, why are you in Helena? Okay, just hold on a second. Why are these kids taking the fight to Helena when they should be taking the fight to Beijing? Why do you never want to hold China accountable?
We're accountable to our own selves. We're 15 tons apiece.
We are not the problem.
CO2 in the air.
We are not the problem.
We are the problem.
We lowered carbon dioxide emissions under President Donald Trump, yet you don't want to vote for Donald Trump.
He didn't. He cut down. The coal plants were going to shut down anyway. We got 15 tons more to do.
We lowered emissions under Trump. You should be singing his praises.
No, I'm not. He says it's a hoax. He says that the Green New Deal, he says climate change is a Chinese hoax.
It is. He's right. And again, you still refuse to call out the communist Chinese. They're building coal plants right now as we speak, and you don't care because you're too busy shutting down, you know, clean burning natural gas power plants in Montana. I mean, again, you refuse to call out the communist Chinese. They're never going to be held accountable under any of this stuff out there. And you always talk about carbon dioxide emissions, and they got lowered under Donald J. Trump, and you still can't say one nice thing about Donald J. Trump. Either way, great to hear from you. I wish we had more time. It would have been fun to go back and forth a little bit more. All right, what do we got coming up tomorrow? You'll find out.